Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Jayhawk Talk podcast. I am Kevin, and I am running solo tonight. No Andrew. Andrew and I were planning to have a podcast tonight. We even talked it over a little bit, talked about West Virginia. We were going to talk about a little TCU preview, and then the notice of allegations hit. I think Andrew probably took one read at that and decided he had a little tummy ache. At least that's what we're going to blame it on. I decided since we already had everything set up, we'd put something out there, especially in response to the notice of allegations that came out. I know a lot of people are asking a lot of questions. There's a lot of things floating around out there, particularly on Twitter, about how the Kansas Athletics Department is either totally buried in jail, it's going to be gone forever, all the way up to none of this matters, they have nothing, and everything in between. I'll try to set the record straight a little bit tonight. I certainly don't have all the facts. I don't have all the information. And some of this is certainly unfiltered and a late night reaction to what we have read. But I think it's worth getting something out there, and I'm happy to do that. It'll be a short podcast. Like I said, running solo. Full disclosure, I actually called on our guy, Nick Schwartz, to join me tonight. We had a lovely podcast. He joined me, and we had some jokes. We had some laughs. We talked through all of this, and then unfortunately had a little technical difficulties. We're going to blame Nick for that, even though it was mostly me. So let's move on. It is what it is. We're going to get something out there for you tonight because we want to get something in reaction to this pretty important day in KU athletics. So the notice of allegations, what is that? What does it mean for you? We'll try to dispel that or distill this rather quickly for everyone to understand. At the end of the day, it's the first step in the process. And a notice of allegations essentially lays out the allegations that the NCAA, through all of its case findings and work and building, have come to a conclusion to say, this is what we have found, and this is what we allege, and this is what we think it gives rise to. And there's four levels of infractions. Level one is obviously the worst. And we've got multiple level one infractions alleged against the University of Kansas and against Bill Self. And that's not good, is the final answer. It's not a good thing. And the allegations are different than maybe what you would normally find in an NCAA case. You know, usually you have a little he said, she said, you have a little this happened. Maybe there's a paper trail. Maybe there's not. But what's not normal is when there is a FBI case involved. What's not normal is when you have, you know, under oath testimony. What's not normal is when a case is sort of spelled out for you. And that's what happened here. We don't see a lot different than what we already knew from the NCAA. It's not like they went out and got a bunch of new information that we hadn't heard of. A lot of it's the same stuff. But what they've done is applied that into now, instead of the court of law and instead of the allegations that were alleged against the Adidas folks, they're looking at this now in terms of their NCAA bylaws. And they're saying, well, we see a pattern here. We see a bunch of things going on with Bill Self and with Curtis Townsend and with Gasnola and some of these and all of these Adidas representatives. We see a bunch of payments. We see a bunch of things that look a little bit too much like Bill Self knew more than maybe he put on, and that the compliance department, even though they probably acted in good faith, particularly around, you know, holding out Silvio or holding out Billy, that some of that might have been kept from the compliance department. And as a result, they have alleged that Bill Self had knowledge of this or should have known. We see a lack of institutional control. We see some allegations against Bill Self individually, that as head coach, he has a responsibility. And these are not just fleeting allegations. These are pretty important allegations and giving rise to level one and frankly, probably in some ways slam dunk level one allegations if they can prove it all up. Now, there is an opportunity for Kansas to respond here. And what we have seen and the quick response that was obviously clearly pre-prepared from the University of Kansas and from Bill Self and others, they intend to fight this tooth and nail. And, you know, I was thinking it through a little bit. I think that makes sense, right? Like, with all of these allegations, and there's a lot of them. I mean, it's 20 pages. It's a long notice of allegations, and it's got a lot of very specific details. You know, if Kansas took to this and said, yeah, you know, we see all this, we're going to do a self-imposed deal where we're just going to maybe take away a scholarship and maybe keep Bill Self out of a few games and suspend him. And that should be good, right, NCAA? Well, I have a feeling the NCAA would laugh in our face and say, no, that's not good. We'll see at the committee meeting. And that's the problem, because there's so much here and because some of it is clearly already wrapped up, at least under oath, in a tight-knit gift, you know, with a gift box and a bow on top for the NCAA. I think it was, you know, frankly, we had no real option but to fight it. And how we're going to fight it is going to be interesting to see. The statement that KU put out actually says we'd be happy to release what we're going to give to the NCAA on this. We intend to respond and defend our positions. I suspect that what they'll do is try to paint a narrative of compliance, you know, a narrative that Bill Self has checks in place and spot checks and works closely hand in hand with the compliance department and blah, 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 blah. And they'll try to create some rebuttable answers to what the presumption is. And that is that the athletics department and Bill Self knew or should have known that this stuff was going on, that there's a lack of institutional control, and that particularly around some of the payments and things that went on, that our staff knew about it. And that, you know, that even though the compliance department might have acted in good faith when it found out, that does not matter. And you might see on Twitter, this is, by the way, don't look at Twitter on this stuff. Don't, I mean, just do so for fun, for funsies. Don't look at it for information unless you're looking at people that know what they're talking about, because a lot of fan reactions are things like, oh, well, you know, Billy was held out and Silvio was cleared, so we'll be fine, right? Well, frankly, none of that matters. That doesn't really, even if you look at the allegations, none of this is talking about any of that. It's talking about stuff that happened prior to that. It's talking about stuff that happened, you know, with the recruitments. And at the end of the day, even though, yeah, we've, and I guess that is certainly going to be part of our defense, is that, wow, when we found out took all these steps, that's fine. But the NCAA is going to say, what do you mean when you found out? You were the ones that caused this. You were the ones that knew about the payments. You knew about this. You knew about what Gasnola was doing. You knew he was an operator. You knew he was a bagman. You had him set up at the Oread Hotel, just happened to be the same night that recruits are staying there. I mean, there's a lot there that's going to be difficult. And frankly, I guess what I'd say is don't read into those fan reactions too strongly, other than note that they're fan reactions. I do get a kick out of the various fan reactions that are out there, that you've got the crew that's like, you know, screw the NCAA. They are not a real institution. They're corrupt. Like, that's one audience. Another one is, you know, everything is burning. We're all screwed. That's one reaction. That's always a good one. Another one is just like total, you know, there's nothing to see here. This is going to blow over. We've got Bill Self, all will be fine. There's like that group of people, and then, you know, everything in between. But one more, I forgot. There's always this one. Well, everybody's doing it. Duke is doing it. So, like, what's the big deal, right? There's that crew too. You probably have seen all of these reactions on Twitter, and they're like all, you know, obvious fan reactions to these things. I tend to take the approach that, you know, I'm going to look and see what's in front of us. I think it's probably pretty damning. It's going to be tough for KU to defend and get off completely scot-free on this. I think it's going to be really difficult. But that said, obviously everyone's going to take a shot at it. The one thing that I would also say is, I don't think, given the time frame that we kind of spelled out earlier in the podcast, that this is going to impact the 2019-2020 Kansas basketball team. I think it will have a pretty long time horizon for this to all work out. And that really gets into, you know, either late 2020 or, you know, potentially even later. Gosh, it took 2 years for the, you know, the North Carolina scandal to get to a resolution. I have a feeling Kansas will try to find ways to delay and to try to find, you know, different avenues to push us as far as we can back with appeals, et cetera. So, so that's kind of where we're at with that. I did find it interesting. Bill Self had a pretty strong response to this, and so did the department itself. You know, Bill Self's response was pretty strong. And here's the quote. It says, "In its haste and attempt to regain control, the enforcement staff of the NCAA has created a false narrative regarding me and our basketball program. The narrative is based on innuendo, half-truths, misimpressions, and mischaracterizations. In reality, we all know that there is only one version of the truth." Boom. Self is dropping the mic with this quote. Real recognize real. Hey, lawyer that wrote that Bill Self quote. But, you know, the department itself also had a pretty visceral reaction to this, strongly defending in the highest of terms that KU is going to levy a hard fight against the NCAA here. My favorite part of this release, though, and we got to talk about this for a second because it's just so golden awesome. there was a level two infraction waged against not Bill Self and not the basketball program, but instead the football program. You might remember that KU is in a legal battle right now, whether it's going to pay Dave Beatty. I think it's something like $3 million left on that contract. And there's an argument, I think, that the University of Kansas sort of drummed up this level two infraction that Dave Beatty had when he was at Kansas. And by virtue of this infraction, we can void that $3 million payment. Some might look at it and go, well, you know, is that something we self-reported just to get out of this payment? I think the answer is yeah. It kind of looks like it. I did get a kick out of Les Miles having his own quote in this statement, something like, let me find it here. "I am confident in the university's process leading to the self-reported violations arising from the previous football staff. Our entire focus is on the current season and the culture that we are building here at KU. The future is bright for Kansas football." You know, I know Les is still new to the team, but and I don't know him as well as certainly LSU fans and others do, but I've heard enough from Les Miles to know that there ain't no way he said that. There ain't no way he quoted that. I listened to a video from him today talking about the West Virginia game, and he said something. he was asked, like, "Hey Les, hey boy, the first half was pretty tough in terms of your offense. Really couldn't get anything going. Second half, you kind of opened it up. What was the difference in that first half? What happened?" And Les says something like, quote, "We probably pushed the ball interiorly one too many times," end quote. Interiorly. That sounds a lot more like Les Miles than the fancy quote. "I'm confident the university's process, blah, 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 blah." It's kind of funny to see. Anyway, what's going to come next from all of this is an open question. Like I said, I think this will be delayed and we'll probably ask for some extensions. Theoretically, I think we have 90 days to respond to the notice of allegation. So we're already into 2020 before this thing really gets cooking. But that's kind of the end of it there. I don't want to put too much more out there. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions. If something pops up, I'm kind of a nerd. I like the NCAA bylaws stuff. I kind of got into it when I was in law school thinking I might want to do some sports law stuff. Then I found out sports law is pretty tough to break into and found insurance law instead was a lot easier. So that's what I did, but it's still something that I'm kind of nerd out about and have routinely offered my services to the University of Kansas to help them pro bono on this this notice of allegation. So far they haven't taken me up on that offer, and I can't say I blame them. So again, I don't think this is going to impact the 2019-2020 season, but I do think it will impact future seasons. And, you know, we've heard kind of off the record, Self has told some folks, and it's a second hand, so take it for what it's worth, but that he's told folks that something like, hey, enjoy this season, enjoy this 2019-2020 season. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a great team, but enjoy this one because the other ones are going to be tough. After this, it's going to be tough. And I think what he's getting at is not that he's going to leave or that, you know, everyone else is going to leave or whatever's going to happen. But I think he recognizes not just that the tumultuous kind of stuff that's going to come from all of this in 2020 and beyond, but also that it's going to be really hard to recruit to Kansas. It's that we've already seen that a little bit this year. As other coaches have used this whole NCAA thing and FBI thing against us in recruiting. Hey, don't go to Kansas. They're probably not going to be able to play in the postseason. Hey, why would you go to Kansas? They're going to lose scholarships and Self's not even going to be able to leave the building to recruit and blah, 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 blah. Which, like, technically they're probably not wrong on some of that. I think a postseason ban is very possible. I think a reduction in scholarships is very possible. There's even a possibility, you know, based on the level one infraction alleged against Bill Self, that he would be suspended for a year. And so, yeah, there's a lot of questions out there, that if you're an opposing coach and you're recruiting the same kid, yeah, I think it's fair game to raise those things, unfortunately for us. And I think that's what Self's getting at. He said he's going to be going, this is again, kind of behind the scenes, off the record stuff, but he'll be looking at a lot more transfers, a lot more JUCO guys. I think these are the players we might be getting for a couple of years, and that's just is what it is, unfortunately. Now, all this could, you know, I don't want to completely get rid of the case that could be made that maybe Kansas just gets away from all of this and nothing happens. I guess it's possible on the range of outcomes, but. You know, I would be surprised, I think is my response to that. I would be surprised if Kansas gets away from this without some pretty serious repercussions. And that's unfortunate, but it is what it is. And I think we'll have to see where it goes. But at the end of the day, enjoy this 2019-2020 season. It's going to be a lot of fun. None of this stuff will impact it. I don't think Self will be talking much about it because he'll probably, you know, say he can't, which is probably true. Other than his statement that he put out. So, you know, I don't think we're going to hear a lot about it during the year, except for during the basketball year, except for when we see Kansas has filed its response to the notice of allegations and potentially when the hearing takes place itself. Those will probably or potentially happen, you know, during the season. So that would be the pause that we'd see in the season for those things. But I don't want to spend too much more time on this other than to I guess say that we'll, you know, if I had to look into the crystal ball, like what happens here. Like I said, I don't think it's good. I mean, I don't think it's good at all. I think we'll probably see a suspension of some sort for Bill Self, a potential show cause for Bill Self that would ride with him for a period of time, potentially, you know, 3, 5, 7 years, who knows. Not that he would go to another program at the NCAA. If anything, he'd probably, you know, go to the league or something, but that would ride with him for a while. And it also puts us under the microscope. If anything else happened, it brings in, you know, potential death penalty, all kinds of other much even tougher penalties that could happen there under a show cause. So we'll see what happens, but I'm not feeling great right now, to be honest. I hate to bring a downer to the podcast, but it does not look all that good for KU basketball in the coming years, but at least for a small period of time. But we'll see. It would suck to get a postseason ban. I'd much rather them take banners down or something than do a postseason ban on a prospective basis. Cause it sucks for those kids, right? It's the kids that are hurt are not the ones that are actually that were involved in any of this stuff. And that's what just kind of sucks by this whole stuff. But unfortunately that is the NCAA for you. And that's what we are faced with. So I'm going to pause there, put a, put a bow in that and move on to football. Let's talk about this West Virginia game, because I have some thoughts on the game. And I struggle a little bit, right? Because you have to separate the game from the build. And I think it's fair to have some perspective and look at this and go, wow, we have a football team that has the ability, it seems, to compete with Big 12 teams. Because we haven't really had that, right? We have a team that maybe can win or has a chance to win most games if all things break right. Maybe turnovers flip back into positive regression for KU and maybe a trick play works out here or there. You know, maybe we have a chance to win a couple of games or multiple games in the Big 12. But at the end of the day, gosh, we seems like we have a competent team on the field. It seems like we've got something to grow on, build on. It seems like we have some momentum. It seems like we have some students coming out to Memorial Stadium, and that they're being loud. And anyway, it seems like there's a lot of good stuff happening from this whole thing. You can take all of that away from the West Virginia game, and I will let you. But at the same time, like, we're not that far away from 4-0. Like, there's a chance, in an alternate world that doesn't have to shift too far from reality, where we would be 4-0 and people would be losing their freaking minds about KU football. I mean, we'd be on SportsCenter, it'd be a whole thing. KU rebuild, it's all happening. We've got, you know, miles to go and the whole thing going on with ESPN and blah, 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 blah. And I think the problem with that, the thing that I keep coming back to is, yeah, there were a couple mistakes that Stanley made and a couple little things here. But I think if you line us up and you play us against West Virginia most times, I think we beat them. We are better than them. And they beat us at home. And I can't help but question, frankly, some of the on-field coaching decisions. The game management at the end was just brutal. The game and clock management, running the ball, I mean, on the goal line, wasting a minute and a half, just you had to be throwing the ball there. There's no other option. And then let's talk about the onside kick. The Mad Hatter, our LSU folks who look at this and go, hey, yeah, you get what you get with the Mad Hatter. I mean, you're going to get some of that stuff. I guess I get that. But I want the Mad Hatter to strike when we are playing Oklahoma. I want the Mad Hatter to strike when we are playing Texas. I want onside kicks and fake punts and everything we could possibly come up with from a trick play perspective during those games. We did not need to kick an onside kick against West Virginia to beat them. We had just scored to get within one score. We had all the momentum in the world. Our defense was looking really good at that point. Our offense was starting to click a little bit. And we kick this onside kick, and I don't care how many times it works out in practice. I don't care if it's a 75 percentile win that you think you can get that. That's not the time to do it. It's not the team to do it again. Save that thing. Save it. Use it when you need it. Because we had the momentum. I think we were going to win that game. And then you give them the ball back. They go back and quick score on a short field, and you're down double. You're down two scores again. And that was, God, that was frustrating. You can get to the call and the referee and should he have called that, or was it within the scope of the rules and all that stuff. That's all fine and good. But I'm talking about the decision on the, you know, from the sideline to do it in the first place. And I wasn't there. I'm not with that. And normally, you know, especially if you've been listening to this podcast a long time, you know, we love risk taking. We love fake punts and fake plays and anything you can come up with. But I don't think you need it when you're the better team. That's really what it comes down to. I think it was a risk that was not worth taking in that situation. Frankly, we played our cards a little bit, so future teams can watch for that we probably needed it against to win. And anyway, that was really, really frustrating to me to see us lose that game, given the way that we played, given the way that West Virginia played. And given that, I think you line those two teams up, I think we win most of the time. And that's what was frustrating. Is that a good thing at the end? Again, playing the perspective game, yes. Playing the long-term build thing, yes. But, like, why can't we have both? Why can't we have the long-term build and perspective and all that stuff and also win some freaking football games? I mean, you hear the players talk about, yeah, we still think we can be bowl eligible, and yeah, we want to, you know, Les is saying we want to be a postseason team this year and all that stuff. And you say that, and then you go to Boston College, you get this great win, and then you totally abandon the RPOs that got you the win in Boston College. You have a completely predictable offense in the first half of this game until you finally started opening it up a little bit. Like, why can't we have both? Why can't we, you do everything you can to win this game and then do everything you can to win the next game? It doesn't matter if we're competitive and keeping fans engaged and all that stuff. I mean, it does matter for the long-term build and all that, but that doesn't help the seniors on this team. I want to get those guys some wins. And that's really what it comes down to. Last point on this, and then I'll stop complaining. Our guy, Jesse Newell, friend of the podcast, has a, of course, he's a big stat guy, nerd alert, big numbers guy. And he follows, I think his name's Bill Connolly, stat guy, football stat guy. And he ran some projections based on just the statistics from this game and said that KU had a 91% win expectancy versus West Virginia, just based on the stats. He noted that KU had 7.4 yards per play and allowed just 4.6 yards per play to West Virginia. In 2019, teams that have gained 7-plus yards and have held a team under 5 yards have a combined record of 73-2. Think about that. Like, KU had a the teams that have done what KU did here have had a 73-2 record in those types of games. Like, yeah, I understand that there were some turnovers and there's variance there and whatever, but variance is built into 73-2. Like, good God, like, that's crazy. And so that's what's kind of frustrating is, yeah, I think we can all walk away and say, man, it's fun to have a team that's fun. It's fun to have a team that competes. It's fun to have a team that plays their butts off. But man, I want some W's. I think the team deserves it. I think the players that, seniors deserve it. I think the fans deserve it. And that's why I was frustrated from that game. But at the end of the day, you know, you step back, take a few steps back, go back to macro and say, you know, it is fun to have a team like it's, that you can watch every Saturday and feel like, hey, you know what? We got a chance to win this game. And it's been a long time since we've had a team that we felt like that. And that is fun. That's exciting. That's something that we can build on, and hopefully we do. Let's talk about TCU a little bit. Yeah, that's coming up on Saturday. I think the line opened up at TCU minus 16, so 16-point favorites. It's kind of moved around a little bit, went to 17, then back down to 16. It's kind of moving around. We'll see where that goes. But, you know, hey, we can beat those guys. Like, right? We could beat TCU. We've done it before. Heck, we did it last year. And it seems like we've, with one notable exception, we've played them really close over the past several years. That one exception, unfortunately, being the last time we played them at TCU, and we mustered, like, I don't know, 20 yards of offense that game. It was one of the worst KU football games I've ever watched. And good God, I've sat through a lot of 60-point losses against Nebraska and K-State and everybody else through the 90s. So, yeah, I mean, it was bad. But that win last year was sure a lot of fun against TCU. And frankly, I don't know how good TCU is. They can't really throw the ball. They just lost to a heartbreaker to SMU. And get this, after the game, Patterson comes out and, you know, does this post-game thing. And it's rare. I don't think I've ever seen this. But he then said, well, any questions related to the offense, I'm going to make my offensive coordinator available to the press as well. So Sonny comes out, and all of a sudden he is answering questions about his offensive play calling and the offensive philosophy and everything that went into that game. Talk about needing to update your LinkedIn profile. I mean, good God, they're putting, he puts you out there and says, yeah, you know, normally I would be behind the microphone and answering these questions, but I'm going to put my offensive coordinator out and you can talk to him. That's a pretty tough shot. So anyway, there's some questions about whether there's a rift there in the coaching staff, whether they're falling apart there at TCU. Maybe a good time to catch them. We'll see. But like I said, it's a team that we can probably have a chance to compete with. Again, the line is about 16.5. I kind of like KU there. I kind of like KU. I'm telling you, I think that we're going to be on the opposite side of variance with turnovers. We've had our hands on a lot of balls. just haven't fallen our way. And I think that it's about time that maybe we get a couple turnovers and keep this one, you know, within a touchdown. That would be a win. You know, like we're talking about KU, you know, do you take moral victories and are you comfortable with that? I think playing TCU to a touchdown would probably be a nice moral victory to walk away from. That said, hey, you know what? Maybe we're a road team, right? Maybe we're better outside Memorial Stadium. We obviously saw that with BC. Maybe there's something to be said for that. We'll see what happens down at TCU, but excited for that game. Well, hey, it's been, I don't know, about a half hour here. Lots of talking. Never done one of these by myself. Hopefully it didn't drive you too nuts. Obviously, next time we will have Andrew back on the podcast. I do want to thank Nick Schwert, our guy who did take some time to record a very nice podcast. Unfortunately, the world will never hear. But go give him a follow at Nick_Schwert and check him out on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, KLWN in Lawrence. And I think he puts it out on the podcast form as well. And if you have any questions about this notice validation stuff, I'm happy to give my perspective at Jayhawk Talk on Twitter. Just reach out to me. I don't know that I'll have the answer. I'll certainly give it my best shot. Probably won't have the answer all the time, but at least I'll give you something that might be a little more truthful than the hot fire fan reactions you might be seeing out there, which I love, by the way, every single one of. So please keep them coming. They get me up in the morning. Thanks again all for listening. If you've made it this far, really appreciate it. Last probably solo pod we'll ever do, but had to get something out there because it was something that's been burning and wanted to get something in your hands. Thanks again to Nick, and we'll catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast and Rock Chalk.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us fearing, all them tournaments appearing, with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering, with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I'm a Jayhawk fan. ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces.
It's for my J Hawk fans, for my J Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.